1190 AM, NBC News, and the best in specialty programming.
The views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of this station or Clear Channel Communications.
You asked for golf, you got golf. It's time for the Golfer's Home with Stephen Grebin. For the next 2 hours, you'll get the best in local, national, and international golf. Interviews from all the tours, the latest inside news, plus a weekly local course review, help on improving your golf game, and our weekly trivia contest, and so much more. So step up to the tee and get ready to keep it in the short grass. It's the Golfer's Home. Here's your host, Stephen Grebin.
8:07, good Sunday morning. This is the Golfer's Home with Stephen Grebin. I'm Tim Cusick, Director of Golf Instruction at the Four Seasons Resort and Club Dallas. Stephen, out today on assignment a week before the Masters. So in studio filling in, sitting to my right is my co-host for the day. Used to be head professional at Windstar Resort, and we'll find out what he's doing now. But good morning, Bradley Houck.
Good morning, Tim.
Nice to see you. Haven't seen you in a while.
It's been a while. I haven't been here with you or Stephen in a while.
I know. So we're walking in the parking lot, and you told me you were down at Valero at the Texas Open earlier this week on Thursday and Friday, and I didn't know if you were down there watching somebody or what you were doing, and you told me you took a new position. What are you doing?
I took a position with Oakley, working in their doing all of North Texas sales and marketing for all of their golf country clubs. So just a little bit of everything. There's a big basket there that have lots of responsibilities. And so one of them was actually to go down and help my South Texas counterpart with the two tour events over the last couple of weeks. So
very cool. Very cool. You're rocking the Oakley garb today. Usually when you when you get out of the quote-unquote golf business and you as a professional – and you stay in the golf business as a, I don't want to say sales rep, but a sales executive, that usually means you play more golf.
So far, that has not been the case. I actually have not played golf yet. Just been busy just the first few weeks trying to get our marketing budget set. And then with a little bit of travel and stuff, the golf clubs are in my trunk. They've stayed in my trunk, actually. I thought I might get to play in San Antonio one of the afternoons, and that didn't happen.
No such luck. Okay. Well, with being affiliated with Oakley now, the defending champion for the Masters coming up this week, Bubba Watson, this winter, switched apparel companies, and he is now affiliated with Oakley. And I saw on the internet this past week they had him standing next to a number of mannequins and outlined what he potentially was going to wear this week. Any new surprises there?
No, those are still good to go. Now there's several players on tour. Bubba's included. Tiger's one. There's always scripting for those that don't know, all the major clothing companies, Nike, Adidas, Oakley, they script their big players, whoever their marquee players are. A few of them have the right of refusal the morning of, and some don't. For example, Adidas is not going to have a right of refusal. They're going to go Team Adidas, so all of the Adidas guys this week will all match.
Really?
Yeah.
All 4 days
they'll all match. And two of the outfits are less than flattering. They're not good.
Okay.
Like Bubba and Tiger, what you've seen in the stores and stuff, the red striped shirt and then the white and turquoise, the white with the gray down the side, and then just the solid red will be the shirts I believe that he'll wear. They replaced the solid red with a different solid red, but you'll never.
You know, it's interesting with the outfits. We could go on for another half hour about talking about in 2013 where you stand with clothing companies and what you're wearing and how it's scripted and how the clothing companies want to market what the player's going to wear, such as some of the golf retail outlets you see advertisement that this is what they're going to wear, and they have that in stock so that you can look like your favorite player if you wish. But it would be interesting in taking a poll of some of the Masters participants in the past that were in the hunt on Sunday and if their outfits were choreographed by themselves to match that green jacket?
Well, I can tell you Bubba's this. You know, most notoriously, Tiger's red never really goes that great with the green, but it kind of looks like a walking Christmas tree.
Right.
It's Tiger.
No, that's not going to change that.
But a lot of players, you know, they've mentioned it. I forget, was it O'Meara or one of those guys that said he had to change shirts, that when he realized he was in his lead, the caddy told him, hey, you may want to put something on that'll coordinate, and he changed slacks. So that the slacks. So there's been players acknowledge it in the past. But, yeah, that's a good question, you know, or to have a press shirt ready to go in the locker and run in there and change into a white shirt or something, that'd be – be pretty interesting to see, but yeah, Bubba's good to go if he wins again. He's just wearing white with a khaki slack.
There you go. He took the safe route.
He did.
He took the safe route. So lots going on in golf right now. Lots going on in the Dallas Metroplex. You had opening day for the Texas Rangers, and a massive crowd turned out Friday afternoon to see the Rangers win, which was always nice to see, and hopefully we continue that route and we get back to playoff baseball, playoff something. In the Dallas Metroplex.
Yeah.
But golf as well. And so you've got arguably the biggest week of the year coming up this week down in Augusta, Georgia with the Masters. One that even if you're not a diehard golf fan, the casual golf fan even sets their, you know, their clock to what they're going to be doing for sure Saturday and Sunday, but even Friday. And the nice thing about it now is that networks replay it on the evening so that you can watch it if you are at work. But just maybe one of my favorite weeks, probably my favorite week in terms of watching sports, because you've got the championship game on Monday night. Michigan and Louisville, winners last night. So they will play in Atlanta, and then you just head up the road about 2.5 hours, or head north about 2.5 hours, and you run into Augusta, Georgia. And it's a fantastic week to enjoy golf. The early forecast there is the weather looks decent, with a chance of maybe some rain on Friday, but the weather keeps improving as you look at the forecast each day. And now there's about a 50% chance, but there's more sun than what they were showing. But the rest of the days look very, very good. So Augusta will show its colors, as it always does, you know, very nicely. This week, how much are you in tune, Bradley, with your watching at Augusta?
I have a very strict no telephone call policy on Sunday. No, the last couple of years we've done the show, and well, the 1 year we did the wrap-up show, the three of us. But,
right.
You know, we typically
right.
have done the show in the morning, and then I head home, and it's my day to do apps. It's the one day a year that I will absolutely do nothing besides just watch the Masters.
You just shut it down.
Yeah, it just started, you know, I don't know how long ago it started, probably 10, 12 years ago. And, mm-hmm. Yeah, it was always the one Sunday of the year I took off, and I love it. It's you know, all the other majors are great, but there's something special about Augusta.
I totally, totally agree with you. Have you been?
I've never been.
You've never been. I have been fortunate to go twice. I went in 1998, and I went in 2000. And with my son getting into golf in a big way in the last 7 or 8 months, and just turned 11 a couple weeks ago, I surprised him with a trip to Augusta. So we're going to go, we're going to leave Thursday afternoon, fly in, drive up, and see Friday and Saturday's rounds, get on the plane early Sunday morning, get back in time to get some lunch and turn the TV on and watch it Sunday afternoon. And, you know, I can't wait for the week. I'm really, really excited. I'm excited for him. But I'm just excited to see where golf goes in the first week or the second week of April with Augusta looming. So we've got a big show today. We're going to make it kind of a Masters preview. A good friend of mine, someone that I taught for a number of years when he played on the Champions Tour, Bruce Crampton, is going to join us at 8:40 and kind of give us a little rundown on what it was like to play at Augusta. He played there 15 times, played very well there as well. Ran into a guy named Jack Nicklaus, as he did a number of times in 1972, and that was his a sole runner-up finish there. And then after the turn of the hour, just after 9 o'clock, we're going to have we're going to go a different direction and have John Drago, the executive director of the HP Byron Nelson Championship, join us and talk from his standpoint, being an official or a rules official at Augusta last year. So we'll get the player side, we'll get the officiating side behind the scenes, and when we join you next, we're going to talk a little leaderboard. We've got the Valero Texas Open going on down in San Antonio. We've got the Kraft Nabisco, the first major for the ladies, going on in Palm Springs. And then the web.com is traveling the world, and they're in Brazil. So we will catch up with the leaderboards when we join you next on The Golfer's Home with Stephen Gribben, AM 1190.
Throughout history, people have abandoned one place of employment to go to another for one simple reason.
Get out of town now.
That reason?
Wait for it.
They played for the Raiders. Try the veal here all week. No, but seriously, we all know the reason.
Make more money.
And why should talk radio be any different?
That's exactly right.
If I can't earn your loyalty with the quality programming available here.
Pay me, you owe me.
I'm willing to pay for it.
Pay me my money down.
Here's the deal I propose.
Hit me.
You listen to us for the cue to text.
So what else you have?
When you hear it, you text the keyword to 36500.
Gotta win. Come on.
You got the money.
Yes!
One winner gets $1,000 instantly and qualifies for a shot at 50 grand. It's a once-in-a-lifetime winning experience from iHeartRadio. Keep listening for details.
Never play poker with a guy named Lucky. Never hit a pinata that has hornets coming out of it. Never play rock, paper, scissors with Edward Rock Hands or Edward Paper Hands. And never trust a car that hasn't been trusted to Midas. Save on brakes, maintenance, and total car care for a car you can depend on long after the warranty expires. You deserve the Midas touch. Get a comprehensive oil change, tire rotation, and visual brake check for $19.99. Up to 5 quarts conventional oil. Shop fees extra. Most vehicles at participating Midas.
Shaquille O'Neal for new Icy Hot Advanced Cream.
I know all about living with pain. After 19 years of pro ball, man. But now I'm feeling awesome. New Icy Hot Advanced Relief is the real deal.
Icy Hot Advanced Cream has 2 maximum strength ingredients to last up to 50% longer. Works great on shoulders, backs, knees, even arthritis. Icy to dull the pain and hot to relax it away.
Come on now. Advance past pain and get on with living.
New Icy Hot Advanced. Available in cream and patch.
Pain over.
Use only as directed.
In the fight against breast cancer, early detection is the difference between life and death. Schedule your mammogram today. This health reminder brought to you by Texas Tile Roofing, installing beautiful, long-lasting, quality roofs on residential and commercial buildings for over 30 years. Visit online at TexasTileRoofing.com. Quality people, quality customers, and quality craftsmanship from a professional roofing contractor. That's Texas Tile Roofing in Haltom City, wishing everyone a safe, healthy, and happy spring season.
Would you like to know how to become 3 times less likely to experience a home burglary? Mike Melton, president of Security Alarm Now, is here to tell us about that.
Statistics show that you're 3 times less likely to have your home broken into when monitored by a home security system. Right now, we're offering listeners a complete ADT security system free of charge when they call
1-888-520-9138.
You only pay $99 for the installation, and the monitoring is only about $1 a day.
That's really economical, especially when you're talking about the safety of your family. Are there any other offers for our listeners?
Yes, the next 20 people who call 1-888-520-9138 will receive a free upgraded to a voice keypad, which in the event of an emergency allows you to talk to the ADT dispatcher through your keypad. It will also include a $100 Visa gift card.
Call 1-888-520-9138. That's 1-888-520-9138.
This is Keith Wiegand, prostate cancer survivor.
And this is The Gang from One Life Radio.
Did you know 1 out of 6 men will be diagnosed with prostate cancer?
Let's work together to come up with a solution.
Support prostate cancer awareness. Visit me at Facebook, Skate for Prostate.
Remember, early detection is critical.
Hey, it's Mondo Mike right here on 1190 AM Sundays, 4 to 6. Great stuff for you.
This is Big Kenny, the number one rated wine czar in the state of Texas.
And this is CraveDFW.com's food editor, Stephen Doyle.
And we're going to talk about food. We're going to talk about wine. We're going to talk about everything that's divine right here, Sundays, 4 to 6 on 1190 AM.
Welcome back to the Golfer's Home with Stephen Gribben. I'm Tim Cusick. Joining me, Bradley Hauk in studio, AM 1190. And we've got some tournaments going on, and we have got golf really, really at the forefront. And it should be, because it's the middle of April, and we've got leaves on the trees now, and we've got green grass start popping on the courses, although they are a little bit behind from the colder temps that we've had so far this spring. But the rain that we had this week, did you get any rain down in San Antonio?
It rained all the way. The course was pretty soggy. It rained all the way up, even through Wednesday afternoon a little bit. And there were some they had to reroute a couple of the public parking lots, and even the vendor and sponsor parking was changed a little bit because a couple of the little – there's no concrete parking for anyone at that new venue. So, it was a little interesting. Some of the parking was dicey at best.
It's interesting what goes on at the professional tournaments in terms of what they have to deal with whether they get everything set up. And I can remember sometimes at the Nelson, you get everything set up, and then the Sunday before, a storm comes through and it tears down the pavilion tent. And one year we had hail on Tuesday night that was the size of softballs, and it damaged all the greens, and we had to get out there one morning really, really early and fix all the ball marks and get the one-ton roller out and start rolling greens. And so that's one thing that the tour is just spectacular at. I mean, they do this week in, week out, and they have got it down, and they can deal with the weather, and they're very proficient with that, as well as having to juggle tee times and Monday finishes and starting early and what have you. But so the web.com is really traveling the globe so far this year. Last week they were in Louisiana, and this week they're in Brazil, and it's a little bit of a difference. But you've got a good field down there playing in Brazil. A gentleman by the name of Benjamin Alvarado is leading the charge down there at 17 under. Three shots behind him is Kevin Kim from Korea, Richard S. Johnson from Sweden, that plays on the PGA Tour from time to time, is tied for third with Dahl Vandewalt and local Danny Lee. And those gentlemen are all at 13 under, four shots out. And we'll see what happens down there. I'd love to see Danny finish it off and get a win and get his season going well. He's had some good starts. He's been tied for first a couple times on the web.com so far, this week being one of them. He was tied for first after the first day. But we'll see. We'll see what happens down there in Brazil. And then they come back to Midland, Texas. So they are truly traveling the globe on the web.com. And then you turn your attention to Palm Springs, California, and the first major of the year for the LPGA Tour, the Kraft Nabisco. And I'll tell you what, that's a fun week in Palm Springs. I worked in Palm Springs for 6 years at PGA West in the late 80s and early 90s. And, the city really embraces that tournament. They get excellent crowds out there, and they have a fantastic field. That's their Masters, quote unquote. They have the white jumpsuits for the caddies, and the LPGA Tour kind of, I don't think they market it as their Masters, but essentially is their Masters for the year. And sitting at the top of the leaderboard is 24-year-old Korean MB Park, and she's at 12 under with rounds of 70, 67, 67. Has played very, very solid. Won earlier this year in Thailand, her fourth win on the LPGA Tour. By the rankings of Golf Week and Sagrin, she is the number one player in the world.
Yeah, her last 15 months have been pretty incredible. I think she's only missed one cut, and towards the end, after July, I think it was after July 15th or whatever the event was, about 2 weeks after 4th of July last year, she went on a stretch of six events and had she went on a stretch of 14 events and had six second-place finishes and two wins. So over the and she's the best putter on the ladies' tour.
Yes.
I mean, if you ever watch, her putting stroke is awesome. And I think she's led – I think I saw something at the beginning of the week in the preview. She was one of the maybe favorites to win. I think maybe Chamblee picked her or something because of how well she putted. And they show the putting stats. She's led the ladies' tour – three of the last 5 years and never worse than fourth at the end of the season in putting stats. So that
certainly helps. And those greens get very fast out in the desert when you get the wind and they're firm. And she's won a U.S. Open. So she won the U.S. Open in 2008. So she's no stranger to closing it out and with major titles as well. Right behind her, Lizette Salas is in second place, three shots back. With rounds of 70, 68, 69. And then you've got a logjam at third. And although they're six shots back, you've got some pretty good heat sitting in third place. So you've got Suzanne Pedersen, who is a very, very good player. You've got Kari Webb, a Hall of Famer. You've got some young ones, Jessica Korda and Corinne Ishay, French player, and then you have Dallas's own, Fort Worth's own, Angela Stanford. And so I'm not saying that MB can't get it done and Lizette isn't viable, but you've got some firepower sitting six shots back, and you have something happen pretty quick, a bogey and a birdie, and now you got a game.
Well, and the bad part about finishing second six times, four of those times she actually took a final round lead, three of them more than two shots, and couldn't hold on to it. So while as great as her season has been, she's had this tendency to make big numbers, just like you said, make big numbers early in rounds and get herself into where she's got to fight to the end. So it'll be the first four holes probably will dictate the entire day.
I would say so. And then sitting in ninth place, tied for ninth, is Paula Creamer. So you've got some very, very good players right behind MB Park. She knows that. She'll feel that. Depending on what the weather forecast is like out in Palm Springs with the wind, they've had some wind out there. They can get some wind out there. And so we'll see. It'll be good TV watching today to see how the first major on the LPGA Tour goes. So now we're down in San Antonio, Texas for the final tune-up before Augusta. And Bradley, since you were down there, why don't you give us a little recap of what's going on down in Texas?
Well, you got all sorts going on as far as old and new and young and old and foreign and American. We got, Horschel's leading, and that guy, if you ever get to watch him, and if he comes to the Nelson or Colonial, folks, you got to get out there and just walk with him a few holes, because the little glimpses that you see on TV of him yelling at himself and running and kicking, this guy is just, he has got more energy than any guy out there, and none controlled. I mean, he never shuts up down the fairway, just always just berating himself and talking, and I mean, he's a mess. I mean, he really is a mess. And then, which you'll have the polar opposite playing with him today. If you're, I think, new at the end of the round yesterday, he needed to birdie the par 5 18th just to try to get in that final group, which he does. And he made the little six-footer and even kind of pumped his fist. So that'll be interesting to see how the two of them, because Horschel doesn't take much time. I mean, once he pulls a club and the caddy hands it, he goes. And Furyk can be Mr. Stall at times when he doesn't feel comfortable. So it'll be interesting to see. The guy that it seems like he's just so close watching him the first 3 days is kind of Hoffman. He seems to – he gets it going, and then he has a moment where he kind of – he'll put a number up, and you're kind of like, well, what in the world was that? So, but I think he may be the guy to really watch today, because he – if he can avoid kind of the trouble on a few of those holes down that right side, he's kind of your guy. Then you've got Bob Estes, a UT guy, who gave us a dissertation yesterday about playing in the wind with the new clubs. And that's the key to that whole golf tournament. That golf course, just walking it the few days, it's a pretty hard golf course. And if the wind gets to blowing, those players have to survive those first 13 or 14 holes. And then they can really get it going the last four. There's nothing really tricked up about the last four. It's a little bit of risk-reward with the short par 4, 17th, and then 18. But there's some potential there. And then also tied with Estes is Rory McIlroy and Ryan Palmer, another guy that can play in the wind. If Ryan can putt it just a little bit better, I think he could get up there. I don't know what to think about Rory. Like I was telling you before we came on, I watched him hit balls there on Friday, and there's something to be said for a player missing both directions. And as an instructor, you can attest to that as well. He's pretty uncomfortable. As much as TV says he's close and some of the announcers say he's close, I'm not as sure as he's as close as everyone wants to. And I know it's good for TV ratings that he is close, and they've got to pump that up going. But watching him hit balls, I'm not sure he's as close as everybody really wants him to be. I think he's doing a very good job of grinding right now. But there's no part of his game that seems to be clicking perfectly. I mean, yesterday he gets out and he gets off to a pretty good start on the front nine. He's within a couple of the lead. And then 10 and 11, there's nothing real difficult about 10 and 11. He three putts both greens for bogey. So it was like, well, you know, and all we heard the first 2 days was, you know, I got back to the hotel and watched the recaps and Golf Channel. Oh, Rory's putting it beautifully. Rory's putting it beautifully. Well, you know, there were some he was leading in three-putt avoidance, which there's goods and bads about that statistic. The fact that you're leading in that category is good because you didn't three-putt. But the bad part is you hit your first putt more than 3 feet past the hole.
Right.
So the first to lead that category, you've had to put yourself in position, which isn't always a good thing. So I don't know what to think. He's, you know, there's a lot of, like we were talking about, I think when a player starts missing both directions, it can really affect them mentally. And I think that's a little bit where Rory is. His natural miss, as we saw at Augusta when he melted down, his natural miss is left. And right now that right shot is in his head a little bit. Even on the range, he gives it some, you very rarely see a player get very animated on the range. And he missed a couple of drivers on the range way right. And he got the little hand gesture and he's murmuring to himself. And then yesterday, two of the bogeys he made, he hit way, way right. And then he got lucky on the short par four. He tried to drive the green and hit it probably 30 yards right into the bushes. And if it's another 6 inches, he's taking an unplayable, probably making double.
Sure.
But he got a little bit lucky over there, and he's able to advance it. And then that was really, I thought, maybe turn his round around. He hit a 60-foot putt over this little ridge and got going down by the hole. He left it about 3 inches outside the cup. It had a little tap in. I thought, well, maybe this will get him going. And then he turns around and, you know, he lays up into a bunker unintentionally. Then he chunks a wedge on 17 out of the bunker, makes bogey, and then has to birdie. You know, doesn't hit a great shot on 18. And so as close as everyone thinks he is, I'm not quite as convinced of seeing it.
Well, you have some interesting sideline stories this week down in San Antonio. Billy Horschel has played very, very well on the tour so far this year. I think he's made 21 straight cuts. This would be his 22nd straight cut. And like you said, he is a ball of energy. But a win today puts him into Augusta.
Right. The one thing that Horschel's done well this week, and if he can keep doing it, he will win. He actually, and I think this is something to be said for his emotional state when he's out there. He typically is very towards the very bottom of last of, and I forget what the PGA Tour actually calls the statistic, but it's basically, it's a bounce back, I think is what it's called.
Right.
It's your percentage of birdies following a bogey.
Mm-hmm.
And he is like in the single digits, not good at all. And that's probably to speak to his emotional state a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
I think yesterday at the end of the round, somebody said he's made 7 bogeys and 5 times he's followed it with a birdie. And I think two of the 3 bogeys he made yesterday, he immediately followed with birdie. So he's sitting at like 75% for the week. So if he can continue to make birdies right after he makes bogeys,
he's looking good.
Right. But, and that's, you hope that holds through the week. But that's tough. There's a couple of guys in the same position. You know, Marcel Seam, mm-hmm. You feel a little bit bad for that guy. He wins last week. He gets a flight over. He thinks he's going to be playing in Augusta with the win because it's going to get him in the top 50. But unfortunately, Stenson played so well, he got into the top 50 and bumped him to 51. So sitting at 51, he doesn't have an invite to the Masters. So while he's a long ways out, you know, you kind of root for a guy like that from Germany that maybe he can do something crazy and get in the field.
You know, and then you have Jim Furyk, who is you know, tied for second, and he's battled some serious demons the last couple of years with the U.S. Open and the Ryder Cup, and some you know, untimely missed shots in key situations and untimely missed putts in key situations. And you hope that if he is in that situation today and the scenario presents itself again, that he does come through, because you hate to see a guy decline that way who's been a very, very good player for a long period of time on the PGA Tour as an American in the Ryder Cup. And so I pull for Jim Furyk. I like his game. I like his grittiness. He's not the longest guy out there by any means, but he can grind it out. Now, in terms of Rory, you know, he needs today, he's sitting at 600 par, in my mind, he needs to go out with a bang today. He can't limp to the finish and then expect to show up at Augusta and just say everything is good. He's got to build on something, you know, after the last 3 days and into tomorrow. And as we get going here later in the show, we'll talk a little bit more about him. We'll talk about the favorites. We'll talk about, you know, Tiger Woods and the perennial favorite right now is Tiger, but you've got some guys that always play well at Augusta. And in the next segment, we'll talk to Bruce Crampton, gentleman that won 14 times on the PGA Tour, 20 times on the Champions Tour, and played at Augusta 15 times. It'd be great to hear, you know, what he has to say in terms of, you know, what it was like, obviously, playing at Augusta, what it was like playing in Jack Nicklaus's shadow, and what he thinks with the current game and where the current game is. He's a very astute character, and looking forward to catching up with him. You're listening to The Golfer's Home with Stephen Gribben. I'm Tim Cusick, Bradley Hauk, AM 1190.
Hi, I'm Jim LeCamp.
And I'm Pat Riddell, co-host of Money Sense at the Opening Bell.
Are you fed up with the endless, relentless arguments about bull market, bear market, trading range market, deflation, hyperinflation, and all the other chatter that leaves you on the sidelines, earning nothing, nada, zip?
Well, we have good news for you. There are opportunities in a highly uncertain environment like this if you know where to look. Let us help you. We'll show you how non-traditional investments can help you uncover uncommon returns.
Give us a call, 800-841-5388,
or log on to money-sense.com.
The Dallas Take Steps for Crohn's and Colitis Walk will be held Sunday, April 28th at Main Street Garden. The festival starts at 3:30. The walk starts at 5 p.m. Take steps to find a cure at ccfa.org and click on events.
Quite often we find ourselves thinking we should have done things sooner.
I love that we took this vacation.
I know. We should have done this a long time ago.
Sooner is just better than later. And now you don't have to wait till later to own the car of your dreams. Thanks to a surprisingly affordable certified pre-owned Mercedes-Benz. And with exceptional 1.99% financing on select models, now through April 30th, that dream is more attainable than ever. Each of our certified pre-owned vehicles undergoes an exhaustive process of analysis, inspection, and reconditioning until it meets the uncompromising standards of a Mercedes-Benz. Plus, every one is available with an optional extended limited warranty for up to 7 years or 135,000 total vehicle miles. And now, with 3 months of Sirius XM satellite radio. And your certified pre-owned Mercedes-Benz is available only at your authorized Mercedes-Benz dealer. Visit today for exceptional financing.
Discovering your family's roots at Ancestry.com takes you on a journey back into time. If you found a relative in the immigration records, imagine what other family history can be unlocked. Untold stories can be found when you access historic census and military records, browse family trees, and connect with distant relatives all through Ancestry.com. And right now, Ancestry.com is extending a very special limited-time offer. For 2 weeks only, they're offering an unprecedented discount on all Ancestry.com memberships when you enter the discount code BECK at checkout. Whether you're looking to explore U.S. documents or access their extensive international records, it's all included during this special offer. Don't delay. Visit Ancestry.com and enter the discount code BECK at checkout for your exclusive discount. This offer is only valid with the discount code BECK and expires soon. Don't wait. Visit Ancestry.com today. That's Ancestry.com.
It's National Start Your Business Month, and LegalZoom wants to help you get your business started right. Whether you're setting up an LLC, S-corporation, sole proprietorship, or nonprofit, LegalZoom takes care of you from start to finish. LegalZoom's not a law firm and provides self-help services at your specific direction. But there's so much more. Now every LLC and incorporation package includes a fully functional version of easy-to-use business accounting software, a $269 value free. Be sure to enter Brilliant in the referral box at checkout. Start your business at LegalZoom.com today.
Guys, you've heard about Ageless Male, the natural supplement that helps boost testosterone levels within normal, healthy ranges. New and improved Ageless Male can help you feel more like you used to in your active life and in your romantic life. Now is the time to try Ageless Male because it's available risk-free.
Just call 1-800-706-2787. 1-800-706-2787. 1-800-706-2787.
This is Tom O'Brien. You can catch my program, The Tom O'Brien Show, live Monday through Friday from 3 to 4 p.m., where I'll break down the day's market action and take your calls and questions right here on KFXR 1190 AM.
Welcome back to The Golfer's Home. with Stephen Gribben. This is Tim Cusick, Bradley Hauk joining me in studio. You can follow me on Twitter at Tim Cusick Golf if you get a chance. Love to have you follow me as I talk golf, talk instruction, what's going on. We'll do some tweeting from Augusta this week. Joining us on the phone now, a good friend of mine. Glad to have him be able to join us so I can catch up with him. Always great to visit with Bruce Crampton about golf. And I'm looking forward to hearing his take on Augusta this week. Bruce, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Tim. Good to hear your voice.
Thank you, sir. Good to hear yours as well. So we start tomorrow with everyone heading to Augusta, everyone in the golf world that's somebody heading to Augusta. Do you still get excited about this week?
I do. The tournament rounds. I don't watch a whole lot of the golf tournaments. My wife does, but I get very involved in the major championships, and I'll be watching this week not only on my computer at the office, but the live telecast later in the weekend, particularly the last round.
So you you played 15 times, if I'm not correct, at
a few more than that, according to my calculations.
How many?
19
times. I'm sorry, 19 times. The first year being
1957,
and the last year being
1976, I would think.
1976. And so in 1957, the golf course obviously was drastically different than it is today. What the greens were Bermuda at that time?
Well, not initially. They did change them to a Bermuda base, and that didn't work out too well. And then they started to rebuild them, and some of the greens were put back to the original position and contours, particularly number 8. And then they went to the latest with all the bent greens.
What part of Augusta, when you played, what part of Augusta was so challenging for you?
Well, I thought the quality of the golf shots that they required you to hit to get the ball anywhere near the flag. It was my feeling that I had to land the ball within a 10-foot circle approximately to have the ball finish anywhere near the flag if I was hitting towards the putting greens. And in order to do that, it not only had to be just struck, it had to be at a certain trajectory, a certain shape on the shot, and it had to have a lot of spin on it in order to settle down and not run off the severe contours. So, but in order to do that, Augusta National was always put in absolutely fantastic condition, and you got every opportunity to hit perfect golf shots.
So back when you played at Augusta, late 50s through the mid 70s, were the crowds the same as what you see there today?
Oh yes, there was. We used to hear on TV when we're in the clubhouse that there were approximately 50,000 members of the gallery on Sunday afternoon, and I don't think from all the years I was there that the screams and echoing from Amen Corner on through the 16th and 17th holes on Sunday afternoon was one bit different. I think it was the same amount of decibels, if you understand.
Yes, yes. What's your best recollection of Augusta that when this week rolls around that reminds you of your playing days there?
Well, the first one that comes to mind was the honor of meeting Bobby Jones. He was in a wheelchair by the time I was playing, but he was still alive, and it was he used to be in his little home. I guess it's called not a condominium, like a cottage, I guess, more or less, to the left of the, right after you leave the 10th tee.
Mm-hmm.
And it was always protocol to go over there and shake hands with Mr. Jones as you were playing the 10th hole. The other thing that came to mind was the start of the Foreign Players Championship. I was fortunate to be one of the first foreign players to participate in that when Mr. Roberts was alive. in 1957. He asked Gary Player, Stan Leonard from Canada, Peter Thompson and Bruce Crampton from Australia to join him for dinner in the Eisenhower Cottage. And it was a wonderful experience. And out of that has grown the Foreign Players, Dennis, which is a very, very large affair now.
And when does that take place in 2013?
It takes, I think it's on the Monday night.
Okay.
Last time I attended, it was held in the lower locker room, and it had grown to where representatives of all the various committees, the committee chairman and also foreign dignitaries, as well as the foreign players. And, of course, there's a lot more foreign players now than there were in 1957 when there were just four of us.
Now, what about a memory from your time playing? What comes to mind?
Well, finishing second to Jack.
In 72.
Yeah, I was fourth. I mean, four times I was second to Jack, and one of those was at Augusta. That I really didn't have a chance to win. I think he won by several shots, but at least I was defending runner-up next year.
That's a good way to put it. Were you paired with him the last day?
No.
No? Okay. Okay. The back nine. We have to talk. I can't let you go, and I'm not going to let you go for a few minutes, but I can't let you go without talking about the back nine. To me, and I haven't played all the great golf courses, but the last nine holes at Augusta National, at least watching it on TV when the tournament comes on, is just absolutely spectacularly orchestrated. Would you agree?
Yes, it is. Well, all 18 holes. That way, Tim. It comes to a climax, of course, starting on the 10th tee on Sunday afternoons, the last round of the tournament. That's when you're running out of holes and the strain and the stress and the tension builds, because it's not like playing the last nine on Thursday afternoon. You've still got 2.5 days. Following to play, so they're just great holes. Or they change them and tweak them. Mm-hmm. And by the way, I've been trying to find out if they've made any changes in the golf course since 2012, but I haven't been able to read anything yet. So I imagine that there hasn't been any changes. But certainly, of course, you're aware that what we know as the 10th hole now was originally the first hole.
I didn't know that.
When the first tournament was played in 1934, and it's basically the same. The fact, when you go there this week with your son, and I think you've been there before,
yes.
Tim, but the green used to be where that big bunker is that you have to hit over when you hit your second shot to the putting surface.
Okay.
That's where the green used to be. But all the they've designed the five pars so that they're more or less 4.5 pars. And it gives the players opportunities to shoot at the green, and then that brings into the possibility of eagles and double eagles. There's been two or three of those. So that all builds to the excitement, and there's not anything quite like Augusta for the last nine holes. It's something always happens. There's always peaks and valleys, and it's just great excitement and great for golf.
So 13 and 15, the two par fives on the back side, could you and would you go for 13 and 15 when you played?
Well, if you hit good enough tee shots, yes. of course, I'm just amazed now, Tim, at hearing the clubs that these players hit to these holes now. I don't identify with that. I was hitting two woods or certainly never less than a 3-iron or a 4-iron if I really hit a big drive with the wind behind me and kept it in the fairway at 15. And, of course, you had to bend it around the elbow a little bit on 13
right.
to be able to shoot at the green. But TV really doesn't give a true picture of how difficult that second shot is at 13. It's hit from a very slopey lie unless you really hit a monstrous drive to where you're past the slopiness of the fairway, but the ball is always above your feet, And you don't want to hook it left over into the bunkers or into that swale left of the green, yet you don't want to hang it out to the right and,
right
and put it in Ray's Creek.
So you never hit a 9-iron like Rory did on Thursday of last year into 13,
well,
what you're saying.
I did my third shot, maybe my fourth.
It seems...
You name it, I've done it.
Bruce, it seems on 13, not have ever walked the fairway, but standing just to the right side of the fairway in the gallery, it seems that where you would potentially drive your golf ball, as you talked about the ball being above your feet, it looks like it's at least at shin level, if I'm not mistaken.
It is, particularly in the middle of the fairway. Now, there's some flat area right down along the creek, and if you're fortunate enough to get it to run down there. But then when I played, there was a branch that hung out on a pine tree about 30 yards ahead of there. So you had to be careful of that too.
Now, when you played in the 70s, were they starting to get the green speeds up to where they have them today?
Oh, yes.
Yes?
They were very quick when I first played there, and then they got slow.
Okay.
When they put the Bermuda base on them. And then one year they had it might have been the year that I finished second, they had a very bad infestation of poania in the greens. They really didn't like the appearance of them on TV, so that's when they set about changing them to bent. But now, of course, they get them up to speed. They've got a drying system under the greens, a vacuum system, and then they've got the rollers that they use now. One other interesting thing about the greens, Tim, that I don't know whether you're aware of this, it's been written about, but a former caddy of mine named Richie Hurley, he's now Dr. Hurley, used to caddy for me at Doral, and he decided that he wasn't good enough to be a tournament player, so he went to the University of Rhode Island and got a degree in turf management and agronomy and went on to bigger and better things with a doctorate degree at Rutgers. And for a number of years, I believe, Richie headed up the consulting team for conditioning Augusta National each year. And one of the things that Richie brought into being was the placement of the grow lights on the 12th green in the fall and up to the tournament. It was always very, very bare down there with a lot of shade on it,
right,
and they could never get enough to grass to grow on it until Richie talked them into putting grow lights on it at night. I haven't seen it at night, but I understand it looks like a football field down there. There's so much light. And nowadays, all you hear is about how much grass there is on the 12th green. So I'm very proud of Richie for doing that and making that nice addition to the 12th green at Augusta.
That's an interesting story. And every once in a while in the telecast, you would hear someone mention, and it was kind of under the under cuff, that the green on number 12 might be a tad slower, or because of the maybe the grow lights that you're talking about not getting it exactly the way they want it. You were talking about caddies just a second ago, and I know the common practice years ago was when you came to Augusta that you took a local Augusta National caddy. Did you follow that suit?
Is that true? Yes. I only had a couple of caddies. One was named Junior and the other was named John Henry. And John Henry, I mean, he died a million deaths. I mean, that was the climax of their whole year. And, I mean, his stomach turned over. He felt all the bad shots that I hit, probably more so than I did. And then, of course, Nicholas's famous caddy, Willie Peterson, I mean, he got a lot of publicity, jumping up and, you know, he was very, very outgoing when Jack did something, spectacular on the golf course.
And that was a common practice all throughout the time that you played, or did you start bringing your caddy later in your career?
No, I never was able to bring my own caddy.
Okay.
That happened after I quit playing the regular tour.
Okay. Okay, so
now they've had female caddies there now.
Yeah.
But the one thing about Augusta that made it different when I first came over here was the fact that they all wore their white coveralls, and of course other tournaments do similar things now, but that's still the tradition at Augusta.
So Bruce, let's turn our sights to this week, and obviously the overwhelming favorite, especially with how he's played the last couple of weeks, is Tiger Woods. How do you like the way his game looks right now and for him playing this week?
Well, from what I've seen, I've watched him play a little bit this year, and it looks like that he's got rid of a lot of that dip in his swing, although he's still been very erratic off the tee. But certainly with his iron shots, his swing looks mechanically better to me than it has been for a number of years. And if he can keep the ball in play and keep putting, from what I've read, he's really been putting well. I understand that at Arnold's tournament that he's knocking in 15-footers like they were 2.5-footers. So, yes, but when the hardest thing is to win when you're expected to, and we all tend to let our expectations get in our way. So if he can just go out there and treat it as another event, then I think he's the man to beat. But anybody that's in the field, in my opinion, is capable of winning the tournament. And the depth of talent is just so much greater than it was when I was playing on the tour.
It's really amazing how the players have bunched themselves together closer to the top echelon now, with McIlroy and Mickelson and Luke Donald and Westwood and Scott and Justin Rose, and you can just keep going down the list. And you know, it comes down to, obviously, you've got to hit it good, you have to manage yourself, and you have to just putt it like you've never putted it before at Augusta. I saw a stat on the telecast this week in San Antonio, that Charles Schwartzel, the South African that won a couple of years ago, has only had 1 3-putt so far this year.
Right. Well, Tim, yes, I think the majority of the credit has to come to the players, but I think a lot of the credit also has to come from great instructors such as yourself. I mean, with the coming of video and et cetera, et cetera, and the understanding of the new principles of the golf swing, and the fact that the players get common input. We're all different, and none of the swings look the same, but their basic fundamentals are all very, very close to one another, at least all the really, truly long-lasting great players. And then they surround themselves with sports psychologists and managers and nutritionalists and conditioners, and they've got the fitness trucks on the tour now that they use. I mean, they're bigger and stronger and better, plus the tremendous increase in prize money that attracts the best players in the world. So if you can really play, you want to play golf in the United States, and thanks to what's happened in the United States, that then allowed other tours throughout the world to flourish and become challenging to the talent in the United States, as evident by the Ryder Cup successes of the European teams. So, but it's all a direct result, in my opinion, of what happened here in the United States.
Bruce, I can't tell you how great it is to catch up with you. I really appreciate your time and your expertise and always your friendship. Thanks for joining us on the Golfers Home this morning.
Thanks, Tom. Tim, I appreciate it. My best to you and your loved ones, and I look forward to staying in touch with you.
Thank you, sir. That's Bruce Crampton, PGA Tour great, and has always been a very good friend of mine. Great stories, and we'll go on the other side of the fence when we come back with John Drago. This is the Golfers Home, AM 1190.
KFXR Dallas, with all the top news and business stories of the day. It's all on 1190 AM.
NBC News Radio, I'm Alex Witt. 12 inches of snow is being forecast for parts of the nation this morning. Here's NBC meteorologist Dylan Dreyer.
A big storm is developing back through the Rockies. Winter weather watches, blizzard watches. We are looking at the chance of some spots in Wyoming and South Dakota to pick up perhaps nearly a foot of snow.
Tensions on the Korean Peninsula continue to affect other decisions. South Korea's top military officer has put off a visit to Washington, and the Defense Department says it will delay an ICBM test, which had been planned for next week. A senior Israeli official says it's time to abandon diplomacy and issue an ultimatum to Iran. Six-nation talks to end its nuclear program ended yesterday with no progress.
And for the first time in its 183-year history, a woman led a prayer yesterday at the semi-annual gathering of the Mormon Church. Jean Stevens led the morning session's closing prayer. This is NBC News Radio. With only 1,600 pandas in the wild, there's pressure to get the animals to breed. NBC's Duncan Golestani describes the case of two pandas in Scotland.
Chan Chan and Yang Guing have been living at Edinburgh Zoo in Scotland for just over a year. During that time, the possibility of them producing offspring has been debated almost as much as the Duke and Duchess of Cambridge. But whereas Kate is now expecting a child, Chan Chan sadly is not. It's not easy to make a baby panda. Females ovulate just once a year. Zookeepers have switched Yang Guing's radio station to help him relax. They're hoping Marvin Gaye and Barry White will put him in the mood. Duncan Golestani, NBC News, London.
And while that hasn't worked out so well, add to the list of successful attempts the name Tom Arnold. The actor's finally become a dad. The 54-year-old has been married four times, but has just had his first child with wife Ashley. They named the boy Jax Copeland Arnold. He weighed in at 8 pounds, 12 ounces, and is 21 inches long. I'm Alex Wood, NBC News Radio.
Ron Delano, Attorney, Houston. Attention mesothelioma patients. If you or a loved one were exposed to asbestos years ago, this may be the cause of your mesothelioma lung cancer. Billions of dollars have been set aside to compensate mesothelioma sufferers, and you may be entitled to a tax-free share of that money, even if you're simply a family member. Make a free call to 800-764-3000 right now to learn more. Ask for your free mesothelioma information kit. Compensation to pay for medical bills and treatments may be available. Many mesothelioma patients were exposed to asbestos and didn't even know it. Secondhand asbestos exposure can also cause this mesothelioma cancer. Your asbestos exposure history needs to be investigated, and the first step is a free consultation. Don't wait. Call now. 800-764-3000. If you've been diagnosed with mesothelioma, find out about your legal rights and possible financial compensation. Mesothelioma cancer patients get help now. The call and the information are free. 800-764-3000. 800-764-3000.
More older, low-income Americans are expected to feel the pain of the government sequester. That's because the Senior Community Service Employment Program is expected to shrink even more. It pays low-income people age 55 or older the minimum wage for 20 hours a week for as long as 4 years so they can continue to seek full-time employment. Participants work in libraries, schools, and nonprofits, so those organizations will also feel the pinch. And it could make finding full-time work even more difficult because participants also receive much-needed job training and skills assessment. They're at the lowest rungs of the nation's economic ladder, with about half of them being minorities. To be eligible, participants must be unemployed and have income of no more than $14,400 a year if they're single or $19,400 if they're married. The National Council on Aging, which helps administer the program, says participants are not looking to dabble just to keep themselves busy. It says they need the money to live. I'm Jim Ascendio from the newsroom at MarketWatch.com.
I'm Chris Young, asking you to join me in the fight against leukemia, cancer, and AIDS through the T.J. Martell Foundation. The T.J. Martell Foundation started as a music industry charity, beginning with a father's promise to his son to raise $1 million for leukemia research before he died. Since then, over $250 million has been raised, leading to new discoveries and cures for leukemia, cancer, and AIDS. But these diseases are much bigger than the music industry. It affects all of us. No one is immune. Join me by making your promise and contribution for a cure at www.tjmartell.org.
Hello?
Hi, I found your name on the internet. I'm going through a foreclosure. Can you help?
Sure, it's simple. We'll just leverage your transitory expenditures into a fiduciary trust, and we massage those assets before your money goes into my private account.
I don't get it.
If you're facing foreclosure, who should you trust? The Hope Hotline is a free resource connecting you with HUD-approved housing counseling agencies available 24 hours a day who can give you the information and clarity you need. Call the Hope Hotline at 888-995-HOPE. That's 888-995-4673. Brought to you by NeighborWorks America and the Ad Council.
Underwater? Upside down? Do these terms describe your current mortgage situation? Jay Farner here from Quicken Loans to tell you that it may be time to get HARPed. With HARP, you may be able to refinance at a lower rate even if your home has lost value. Millions of homeowners are eligible for this program right now, including hundreds of thousands who currently have a mortgage with Bank of America. That's right, hundreds of thousands of Bank of America clients are eligible for HARP and have not yet taken advantage of this opportunity. Quicken Loans may be able to help. To learn if you're eligible to get HARPed, log on to quickenloans.com and click on our easy-to-use HARP tool. But you've got to act right now. This unique program is scheduled to end at the end of the year, and I don't want you to miss out. Once again, if you owe more than your home is worth, or if your current mortgage rate is higher than 3.99%, call Quicken Loans right now at 800-QUICKEN or go to quickenloans.com. We're engineered to amaze.
Important terms and conditions apply. Call us for cost information. Equal housing lender. Licensed in all 50 states. NMLS number 3030.
1190 AM, NBC News, and the best in specialty programming.
The views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of this station or Clear Channel Communications.
Nine holes down and nine holes to play. It's the backside of the golfer's home. Here's your host, Stephen Gribben.
Back to the golfer's home with Stephen Gribben. I'm Tim Cusick, Bradley Houck. Thanks for listening to us on AM 1190 iHeartRadio. As well, you can tune us in anywhere in the country on iHeartRadio. Love to have you listening in from all different parts of the United States. Bradley, what'd you think of Bruce's comments there?
I always like to hear the old stories, especially because, you know, it's kind of the forbidden secret about the Bermuda, I guess. A lot of people don't like to talk about it, and then to kind of hear how they struggled a little bit. You always like to hear some of the old-timer stories that, you know, actually lived it, and to get to hear, you know, how they... You know, even the grow lights, like that's something that, you know, a lot, some, you hear rumors about it, mm-hmm. but to hear him tell the story of it, it looks like a football scene, it looks like a football stadium. And it's kind of sometimes neat to hear some of that behind the scenes stuff that, you know, the media, we all see it. Yeah. You know, how much stuff like we were talking about earlier with Rory, you know, how much we got to do what's best for ratings but sure. to hear the real story.
Sure. I didn't know anything about the foreign players dinner or number 10 at one point being number one. That was pretty cool. Pretty cool. So joining us now on the radio, calling in from somewhere in Dallas, I think, is the executive director of the HP Byron Nelson Championship, a frequent guest on the Golfer's Home. Good morning, John Drago.
Good morning, Tim. Good morning, Bradley. How you guys doing?
Good morning,
We're doing
sir.
Very, very good. Thanks for catching up with us this morning, John. I know that we talked to you a number of times, especially leading up to the HP Byron Nelson Championship, about what's going on with the tournament. And we'll touch base with that just a little bit before we let you go. But we got, before the break, we had Bruce Crampton on and gave us a really insightful visit about his 19 years playing at Augusta. And I know that you were last year on the other side of the fence, not a player, but as a rules official. And was last year your first time doing it?
It was actually 2011,
okay.
And it was the first time that I did it, yes.
Okay.
The year Schwartzel won.
And now when you get selected to do that, was that something of a surprise, or did you know that was coming?
It was a complete surprise. I'm on the PGA of America Rules Committee, and they've got about, I think, six or seven guys they send every year. And when David Price called me, I think it was late January, early February, to invite me to be a part of that group that represented the PGA out there. That was a huge surprise and obviously a huge honor.
So you get that call in January, and you're in the midst of preparing for the Nelson, and we're now about 30-some-odd days out, and you've got to shut it down somewhat for a week. Was that a little bit of a panic, or you said, heck no, I'm ready for Augusta?
I said, man, I really want to do that, but I got to call my tournament chairman to make sure he's comfortable with me being out for a week. And they couldn't have been more supportive. You know, the salesmanship club's been very supportive of me staying involved with this committee and the time that it takes me away from the office. And to every one of them that I talked to about it encouraged me to go and was excited about me being there. And I will say it was one of the harder ones because, you know, a lot of times when I go work a tournament, you know, I've got my phone, and I can check email and all that. But you don't do that when you're at Augusta.
No.
You leave that in the locker before you head out.
That's funny. So yeah. for the week, were you stationed on a particular set of holes, or did you rotate?
I rotated, had a different hole every day. My Thursday morning, I worked with the great Dal Finsterwald, was my official. Mm. There's more than one official on most holes out
okay.
there, which is something a lot of people don't know, on the second hole on Thursday. And then on Friday, I worked the 10th hole, drive zone. Saturday I worked 13 green and 13 drive zone. We rotated it. There's a bunch of officials on 13, and we rotated throughout the day. And then I worked by myself on the 14th hole on the last day.
I would think 13 you would get quite a bit of action with what goes on around Rays Creek.
There's definitely a lot of excitement going on down there, and a lot of players hitting it down there, hitting it over the green, hitting in that back bunker. So it was probably one of the busier spots. Also probably one of the prettiest spots in golf was the drive zone of 13, because I'd look to the right and see that beautiful panoramic photo of 13 green that you've seen so much.
Right.
You look to the left and you see the tee way back up there in the trees, and you see 11 green, 12 green. I mean, it's just a fantastic spot.
Any rules, scenarios stand out from that week?
You know, not really. The most interesting thing, my very first ruling at Augusta was with Tom Watson on the second hole the first day. So that kind of got my stomach going a little bit. He was looking for some relief from some pine needles, and I had to turn him down. So that was not the easiest thing, but I got past that. And, you know, most of it was players in the pine needles or where did the ball go in. You know, the course is kept in such perfect condition that normally it's something fairly simple like that there. And like, unless something crazy happens, like when Tiger putted it off the green into the water on 15 that one day.
Uh-huh.
But it was a fairly quiet day. Luckily, you know, I worked number 10 on Friday, so I wasn't there when Rory hit it in the houses on Sunday afternoon that year. And again, probably the craziest thing was working hole 14 on Sunday. I don't know if y'all remember that year, but it was the year Tiger made a big charge. Jason Day was right there. Schwartzel birdied, I think, the last five holes to win. I mean, a really exciting finish, as they usually are. And 14 is the only hole without a leaderboard on it. So I was trying to check with spectators and walking over to 15 and trying to figure out what the heck was going on.
That's interesting. So do you have a I know that you have to be political in this next question, but do you have a favorite or a pick for this week?
Well, it's certainly hard not to like Tiger the way he's been playing. I also think McIlroy's game just fits there so well because he hits the ball so high, he can just get his putting worked out.
Mm-hmm.
And also, I like Jason Day. He plays well on those hard golf courses. He can, same thing with him. If he just gets that putter rolling, I think he's got a chance too. But it's such a hard. It's probably, in my opinion, one of the hardest tournaments to pick just because of what happens on that back nine on Sunday. And, you know, who would have thought Schwartz was going to birdie the last five holes?
Yeah, exactly.
To come out and win that thing. I think everybody thought that was Tiger's or Jason's to win.
Exactly. Okay, so let's turn the page to the middle of May, HP Byron Nelson Championship. And I heard this past week, I know a couple of weeks ago we heard that Jordan Spieth had accepted sponsor's exemption to play in the event for his third time, I believe. And I heard a few other commitments. Can you share with the listeners who's committed so far that's noteworthy?
Yeah, we've heard from quite a few players. We've got our last four defending champions have all committed, with Duffner and Keegan Bradley, Jason Day and Roy Sabatini. We've got a few international players, Louis Oosthuizen and Cole Schwartz were both expected to play. They haven't officially committed yet, but we've spoken to them, and they're expected to play. Martin Keimer is another major champion international player that will play us for the first time.
Awesome.
This year. So we look forward to welcoming him. Padraig Harrington has, again, indicated to us as well that he'll be back. He had a good time when he was here last year. So we expect a very similar field to what we had last year, with a lot of good players, and look forward to having everybody out.
That's really getting the field off to a good start. And, you know, I would think that when you get momentum like that, that momentum starts breeding more, possibly more of the top echelon players. And I know that that certainly would excite not only our facility, but the Dallas crowd and the salesmanship club. And so that's great, great news, John. Anything else coming up with the tournament that we need to know about?
No, just tell everyone to go buy some tickets. I'm out here today. We're working, and golf course looks great. It's coming along just as you were talking about earlier on in your show, and we're ready to roll. I think we're 35 days out right now.
35 days away from the HP Byron Nelson Championship. That's hard to believe. It just comes up so quick. You know, I was out on the golf course earlier this week doing some videos for our Facebook website for the Four Seasons. And they've got the bleachers going up behind 16. They've got the tunnel coming out of the tunnel on 17. They're starting to erect the skyboxes there. And you know when you start seeing that stuff happen that it's not too far around the corner. John, it's always great catching up with you. Enjoy your Sunday afternoon, and I'm sure we'll catch up with you probably next week, getting your thoughts about what's going on at Augusta. Thanks for joining us.
Great. Look forward to it. And congratulations on your new job there, Bradley.
Oh, thanks, John.
Thanks, John. That's John Drago, Executive Director of the HP Byron Nelson Championship. He is he wears a number of hats. He's a he's one of the best executive directors, if not the best, on the PGA Tour. With the Nelson, he's a fantastic rules official. Does three events every year with the PGA of America. Could be the PGA Championship. Could be Ryder Cup. Could be their club professional. Could be the PGA National Junior Championship. But he is very, very well known with his talents on the rules of golf as well, and having the first rule at Augusta be with Tom Watson, that's got to shake you up,
Tom,
a little bit.
Can't no go on that relief there, but love you, love you, sure.
Yeah, exactly. All right, we're gonna take a quick break here just for a second, and when we come back, I think we've got our fearless leader Stephen Gribben calling in. He's got a couple thoughts that he'd like to interject about Augusta, what's going to happen this week. You're listening to The Golfer's Home with Stephen Gribben, AM 1190 and iHeartRadio.
Throughout history, people have abandoned one place of employment to go to another for one simple reason.
Get out of town now.
That reason?
Wait for it.
They played for the Raiders.
Try the veal here all week.
No, but seriously, we all know the reason.
Make
more money. And why should talk radio be any different?
That's exactly right.
If I can't earn your loyalty with the quality programming available here,
pay me, you owe me.
I'm willing to pay for it.
Pay me my money down.
Here's the deal I propose.
Hit me.
You listen to us for the cue to text.
So what else you have?
When you hear it, you text the keyword to 36500.
Gotta win, gotta win, gotta win. Come on.
You got the money.
Yes!
One winner gets $1,000 instantly and qualifies for a shot at 50 grand.
It's a once-in-a-lifetime winning experience from iHeartRadio.
Keep listening for details.
Baseball season is here. How many baseball games are you going to this season? I can't wait to get to the ballpark. I'm going to make it to a lot of games this year because I've discovered ScoreBig.com, where I can get baseball tickets for up to 60% off. In fact, at ScoreBig.com, every ticket is below box office price, guaranteed. That's because ScoreBig grabs unsold tickets to baseball games and thousands of other live events, NBA, NHL, and great shows, and sells them at huge discounts, up to 60% off, even right behind home plate. And listen to this. Now's the perfect time to get your baseball tickets, because right now ScoreBig is offering an extra $15 off everything on the site. That's an extra $15 off already incredibly low price tickets. Remember, tickets at ScoreBig.com are already up to 60% below box office price, and for a limited time, you can get an additional $15 off. But hurry, the only way to get this amazing deal on baseball tickets is to go to ScoreBig.com and type in the promo code 4444 at checkout. That's ScoreBig.com, promo code 4444.
Are you waiting for the perfect time to start your dream business? It's now. LegalZoom, the official sponsor of National Start Your Business Month, wants you to get started right. Whether you're setting up an LLC, S-Corp, sole proprietorship, or nonprofit, LegalZoom takes care of you from start to finish. Their award-winning service was developed by the best legal minds in the country, and every business gets personalized attention. That's why over 90% of LegalZoom customers would recommend the service to their family. And you'll be in good company. 36 companies on the Inc. 500 lists were started through LegalZoom. It's National Start Your Business Month, so start your business right at LegalZoom.com. LegalZoom's not a law firm and provides self-help services at your specific direction. But there's so much more. Now every LLC and incorporation package includes easy-to-use business accounting software, a $269 value free. Be sure to enter Brilliant in the referral box at checkout. Start your business, protect your family, and safeguard your assets at LegalZoom.com today.
This is a guided meditation on parenting. Take this time to breathe deeply and close your eyes. Right now, you're completely in control. Unlike the time you and your son played basketball and you attempted to slam dunk. Or when you tried removing those raccoons from the basement. Concentrate on the soothing sound of my voice. Release the memory of when you wrestled with that beehive in your son's treehouse. Let go of the time you thought that skunk was a cat, or when you pulled into the garage with your son's bike on top of the car. Deep breaths. Deep breaths.
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. There are thousands of teens in foster care who don't need perfection. They need you. For more information on how you can adopt, visit AdoptUSKids.org. A public service announcement from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to the Golfer's Home with Stephen Griffin. I'm Tim Cusick. Bradley Hawkins studio with me. Doing a little Masters preview. Visit with Bruce Crampton. PGA Tour great. Visited with John Drago, executive director of the HP Byron Nelson Championship and also a rules official at Augusta in 2011. And now joining us on the radio is the man himself, Stephen Griffin. Stephen, good morning.
Morning, guys. How are you?
We're doing great. We're doing great. Good. You're on a top secret assignment, aren't you?
I am trying to get ready for Augusta, getting everything set up, getting all packed up, and getting ready to head out. Now, I will, of course, I come back before you get there, interestingly enough. I go, I take care of my new stuff. Then I never get to watch the tournament. Or it's been 3 years since I've actually stayed for the tournament, so it's pretty interesting. That was the last time I stayed. But get my stuff done, get what I need to do, and then come back. So. But here's the question. I got to ask you guys a question. Bradley, thanks for letting us know you got the job. I really appreciate it. No, I'm kidding.
You're looking for some Oakleys, I'm sure.
Of course. Okay, so here's the question, Tim. You know, even Crampton said it. And Crampton has been your student for a very long time. I love the term student when the guy's, a little bit older than you. But
yeah, no kidding.
Yeah, but here's the question I have. Over the last 3 years, a guy you worked with, and I don't know if you would consider him a mentor or not, but someone you worked with for a very long time, Hank Haney, and congratulations, Hank, on his baby. Mm-hmm. But someone you worked with has taken a very bad rap from most of the media. I would say the vast majority of the media. People saying things like what Bruce just said, which was, his swing with his iron, it looks much better than it has for years. Mm-hmm. And people use that term for years, and I take it to mean that people just never really liked Haney's swing. Now, forgetting how much the guy won with Haney's swing, you worked with him forever, so I assume that at least some of what you taught to Bruce had something to do with at least some sort of Haney-esque kind of stuff. Why does he get such a huge rap? And I'm asking you this for me, but also for the listeners, because we all hear this all the time, whether it's from Faldo, whether it's from Miller, whether it's from anybody you hear, they're all saying his swing is so much better than it was in the last few years. And by the last few years, they all mean Haney's swing. What was so wrong with Haney's swing that everybody feels the necessity to just beat it up? And I'm going to hang up, and I want to listen to your answer as somebody who's worked with Haney forever, and then listen to Bradley's answer as a PGA professional who's taught the game as long as he has. I really would like to get insight into this, because forget the numbers. We all know that from a numbers standpoint, the Hank Haney swing works better than the Harmon swing from factual numbers. But forget that part. He just takes this incredibly bad rap. And I really would like to understand why people need to do that and what the differences really are. And was it that bad a golf swing? So I'm going to hang up and listen, and you're on.
Stephen, thanks for calling in, and that's a pretty loaded question.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Now you hang up.
That's a very loaded question. But what I would say is that the first part of it, Hank was and is a mentor of mine. What I taught Bruce Crampton was only after Hank had already taught Bruce and made a major swing change with Bruce when he was playing on the Champions Tour, and I kind of just took over after that and did more maintenance of his golf swing than anything. But Bruce could swing it as good as anybody could swing it, and really, really could compress the golf ball and hit shots at all different trajectories, as he talked about, that were required at Augusta. Now, in terms of Tiger Woods' golf swing, I always was of the opinion that Butch Harmon did an incredible job with Tiger. Tiger's won the Masters with like three different golf swings, at least three different golf swings.
Yeah. Yes, in theory.
And so, you know, he won it when it was across the line and shut when he was in 1997. Then he and Butch, for whatever reason, changed that, and he won again after that. And then he came to work with Hank, and he changed again, and he won with that. And I always thought that in the time that he worked with Hank, that he developed more shot making than anything. He could really control his trajectory. He all of a sudden had a great three-quarter low-type shot, taking more club. I can remember one time in 2000 when I was at Augusta, and they'd had a rain delay in the third round, and on a number 11, Tiger had to come back out, and I went out, and I was following him in the gallery, and he had this shot from the right rough that he was about 142 yards to the pin, and he took an 8-iron. Now, he could hit an 8-iron 185 yards if he wants to. He took an 8-iron and make this swing that was about chest-high to chest-high that was the most beautiful-looking trajectory shot that when it hit on the green, took one hop and then just slowly released to the hole. And that was all designed to take spin off the golf ball so that he could control not only the trajectory but what it did once it landed on the green. And during Hank's time, you know, he was at the top of the chart with all the distances between 50 and 125 yards. He was a master, and he would lead those stats by feet every year. He might lead from 50 to 75 yards by 3 feet over the next player, and that's right. Huge. I mean, that's a huge difference in just from first to second. Forget about what the average was. The average one time, he led by 6 feet. And I'll tell you what, if I'm putting from 6 feet closer to the hole and I'm Tiger Woods, I'm winning a lot and I'm making a lot. Yeah. And so I don't truly know why he takes a bad rap from the media. I don't know if it's his relationship with the media. I don't know if it's something that maybe he had mentioned in his book that he felt sometimes that Tiger didn't stand up sometimes in the media, you know, for Hank on a couple of things. But I really don't know the answer to that. But I do know that when Hank worked with Tiger Woods, man, he hit it awfully good.
I think there's other facts. I'm going to go on a completely different thought that it's not necessarily just the swing. It's a little bit – all these guys that you hear criticize, they all have their own theories on the golf swing, and a little bit of it is self-promotion. I mean, Miller has – no matter who Tiger's working with, Miller criticizes him. He criticized Foley at the end of last year about the size of Tiger's divots, which Tiger didn't help with that with some of the off-the-cuff comments. Chamblee on the Golf Channel criticizes every instructor Tiger's ever worked with. I kind of lean towards Faraday. I think Faraday's had the best perspective of all of Tiger's instructors. You stand behind the guy and say, yep, that looks good. Yep, that looks good. Perfect. Yep, that looks good. Because at the end of the day, while there are, you know, you can see slight differences in each one, as you were talking about earlier, shutting across the line. I mean, there are slight differences. But if you go take a tour of the oven, those guys will tell you While they'll never give you, we all know that Nike will not release the specific specs of any golf club they build for any player. They will tell you that from day one that Tiger started working with them in 2000 until today, his lie angle has never changed a degree. Which impact everything's the same, mm-hmm. you know. So while, you know, there are differences, you know, with Hank, and I think he's, as much as people want to say, and Bruce said it, and Chambly has said it, he preaches it, oh, Tiger's short irons are so much better. Well, I think if people really watch, there's a little bit of the Haney stuff creeping back in, because Foley's players take huge divots with short irons. And I think the thing you've noticed at the beginning of this season, Tiger has mentioned it several times on TV, that over the winter time he really worked on controlling the short irons, and the divots are smaller. If you notice, and he's mentioned, you know, that he's really catching the ball cleaner now. He's not laying the sod over it. So I think, you know, whether it's Hank creeping back in or steering himself away from the Foley swing, and I think it's a little bit what you said. I think it's the media. You know, there's some guys that rub media members the wrong way. You know, Mickelson's in the media looked at much more favorably than Tiger is, but then behind the scenes, I got to hear a locker room guy this weekend rail, or last weekend in Houston rail, on his favorite players and not favorite players about how much they whine about the bottles of water and the food that's kept in the locker room. So, yeah, I think it's just to each their own, and there's always a little bit of self-promotion. I mean, those guys on TV are always asked to give lessons, or they're always asked for their opinion on this and that. So they have to have an opinion. Sure. They can't just go, oh, well, this is great. You know, part of being in the media and part of being on TV and part of being on those broadcasts, you know, Miller says he doesn't care that everybody hates him. That's why he's still on TV. People tune in to listen to Miller say ridiculous things, and that's how he keeps his job. So part of that criticism, I feel at times, is because you can't argue with the – I mean, he won 29% of the events he played in when he was under Hank. I mean, that's – he won 29% 40, under Butch, 41, 46, 40, yeah. 41 or 46 yeah. under Hank. So it's not like you can go – I mean, at the end of the day, golf is the single most results-driven business sport there is. I mean, we don't sign contracts. You know, there's not a five-year – you know, people talk about NFL's guarantee this compared to baseball's – you know, baseball's 100% guarantee, and NFL's only – you know, Romo only got $55 million guaranteed of the $112 million. Well, golfers aren't guaranteed anything but their next shot, you know. That's it. You know, they can't – there's no – oh, I got hurt. You know, I'm still going to collect my salary. It's mm-hmm. you play, make the cut, or don't make money.
That's exactly right. And I'll tell you one thing. If Tiger Woods putts anywhere close to the way he putted at Doral or at Bay Hill, he took when he won at Doral, he took 100 putts. And from what I understand, that's the lowest number of putts he's ever taken winning an event.
Right.
And then at Doral, at Bay Hill, he went on just a ridiculous run one day where he had 24 putts in one of the rounds, and he had 18 putts inside of 20 feet, and he made 17 of them.
Yeah, that was through three rounds. He had 18 putts from 5 to 20 feet in that 5 to 20 foot range through the first round, and he was 17 of 18. If you do that, you're going to win every golf tournament.
You're going to win.
Every tour player out there, you give any tour player that stat, and they're going to win.
Most likely, the person that wins next Sunday will have not had a three-putt or maybe just one three-putt. I mean, that stat continues to show itself year after year after year.
In four victories, Tiger's only ever had one three-putt.
There's that. That's going to be the, you know, that's going to be the telling tale, that you at Augusta, you can separate yourself. You have to hit it, as Bruce Crampton talked about last hour. You have to be able to hit it. You have to be able to hit it a certain distance. You got to be able to hit it a certain trajectory, and you got to be able to hit it with some spin. And there's little 10-foot squares that you're aiming to depending on where the pin is. And the guy that has his trajectory and his impact that week is able to do that. But he could do that and still not win the tournament if he's not making his putts.
Yeah, I mean, I played in the one of the last things I did before I took the Oakley job was playing the TaylorMade Pebble Beach qualifier down at Redstone. And, you know, it was fun to play a golf course basically a week ahead of the tournament under Augusta conditions. Mm-hmm. And when I got back, I joked their fairways are faster than any green. And so you have to, like Bruce said, there's 10-foot circles because once the ball gets to rolling, it's hard to stop it. And it is. I mean, you can. Their callers are faster. Their callers this week at Augusta will be faster than most of the greens around the Metroplex will be today.
And folks, what you don't understand if you've never been there, and as we've said, TV doesn't do it anywhere close to the justice as what it looks like in person. but you have some incredible different elevation changes from the fairway, from tee to fairway, from fairway to green. But then when you get on the green surrounds, it's number six, for instance, we'll talk about a par three, has so many different movements in that green. I don't know how you do not three putt on that green. It's just unbelievable the movement that goes on in that green. And you base that with the pace that they have. Just wherever you have dinner tonight at your kitchen table, put a ball on that surface and see if that ball will stay first and just kind of give it a nudge. And that's kind of what it's going to be like putting next week.
Yeah, it's incredible. I short-sighted myself in one of the bunkers at TPC down there at Redstone and number three. And the caddy said, if you hit it, he's like, don't fire at that fly, because if you're in that back right bunker, it's going, your bunker shot's going in the water. You can't stop it. I'm sitting there thinking, I'm a good bunker player. I can pull this off. And sure enough, I hit it in that bunker, and I hit a perfect bunker shot with 60-degree wedge, barely cleared the lip, and it trickled and trickled and trickled. And it's a huge slope. And same thing. I mean, once those balls get to rolling down those slopes, you're at the mercy of the golf course.
No, they're not stopping. Bradley, I hate to do this to you,
but
I've got to go and teach. I've got my real job is calling, and I've got to get on 6:35 and run over and give a few lessons today. I enjoyed visiting with you.
Yes.
Congratulations on your new job.
Thank you.
And you're going to have to take the ship the rest of the way after this next break. So, folks, enjoy Augusta. I'm going to call in next week as I'm en route back to Dallas. We'll talk to Stephen. You're listening to The Golfer's Home with Stephen Gribben, AM 1190, and iHeartRadio.
Millions of American men, women, and children are going without. You could be the one who makes a difference. Reach out and help a person in need download iHeartRadio to their smartphone or tablet. Show them the wonders of listening to 1,500 live radio stations, creating their own custom playlist, or using the Perfect For feature. End the hardship. Help someone download the free app at iHeartRadio.com.
You have know-how? You know how to change your oil. So Napa's rewarding you with our Synthetic Oil Change Special. Pick up 5 quarts of Napa Synthetic Motor Oil and a Napa Silver Oil Filter for just $19.99. That's a great price for synthetic. So come to a Napa Auto Parts store today and save big.
Napa know-how.
$19.99 seems too good to be real. Maybe that's why they call it synthetic. At participating Napa Auto Parts stores, sale price does not include applicable state, local taxes, or recycling fees. Offer expires 4/30/13.
Isn't it amazing how busy your friends suddenly become when you tell them you're moving? Sorry, my mom's coming to town. I'm getting my teeth whitened. Hey, sorry, listen, man, I can't really think of an excuse, but I can't. Moving is hard, and finding people willing to help you move, well, that's even harder. So while you beat the bushes trying to find a friend who won't lie to your face, you should know that at least Reliant has your back. We'll help connect you with electricity and all kinds of energy-saving tools, as well as phone, cable, internet, all with one call. And what we won't give you is a lame excuse like, sorry, man, my pickup truck is the kind that doesn't haul stuff. To learn more, call 1-866-RELIANT or visit Reliant.com. Welcome to Reliant. How can we help you?
For more information, visit Reliant.com/moving, KCT number 10007.
Would you like to know how to become 3 times less likely to experience a home burglary? Mike Melton, president of Security Alarm Now, is here to tell us about that.
Statistics show that you're 3 times less likely to have your home broken into when monitored by a home security system. Right now, we're offering listeners a complete ADT security system free of charge when they call
1-888-520-9138.
You only pay $99 for the installation, and the monitoring is only about $1 a day.
That's really economical, especially when you're talking about the safety of your family. Are there any other offers for our listeners?
Yes, the next 20 people who call 1-888-520-9138 will receive a free upgraded 2-way voice keypad, which in the event of an emergency allows you to talk to the ADT dispatcher through your keypad. It will also include a $100 Visa gift card.
Call 1-888-520-9138. That's 1-888-520-9138.
Hi, this is Bernadette, owner of Adrift Float Spa. Did you know that stress is one of the major contributors of high healthcare costs?
As Arianna Huffington reported in a recent CNBC interview, stress is prevalent in corporate America and affects negatively our productivity as a nation. Corporate America needs to be paying attention to stress reduction. Floating or flotation therapy is learning and experiencing what it feels like to truly relax. What are the benefits of floating? Decreased stress, nervousness, and anxiety. Decreased muscular aches and pains, improved concentration, memory, and mental focus, increased energy and performance, enhanced quality of sleep, and a general overall sense of well-being. De-stress your employees. Call Adrift about our corporate packages at 214-363-5628. That's 214-363-5628, or visit us at AdriftFloatSpa.com.
Welcome back to the Golfer's Home on AM 1190 with Stephen Gribben. I am filling in this last segment here for Tim and Stephen. Tim had to run and give a golf lesson, and Stephen is out on a top secret mission this morning. But we'll do this last segment here with a little more Masters preview. And I believe on the line we have Patrick Chamberlain, the head golf professional from Coyote Ridge Golf Club. Are you there, Patrick?
I am. Good morning. How are you doing, Bradley?
Good morning. How are you?
All right.
How are things out there at Coyote Ridge this morning?
Good. It's a great day. We got a lot of golfers. Good weather day for it. Not a lot of wind, so we got everybody out there playing.
Yeah, with the forecast that's coming up this week, you got to get it in either today or tomorrow, it looks like, before the Tuesday, Wednesday rain hits.
It's been an interesting few weeks in the golf business. Yeah, real good days and real bad days. So we're doing well when the sun's shining and the winds are down, and you know, just fighting through the weather when it's there.
So with some of the overnight temps, how is the golf course holding up as far as condition-wise? Are you guys slow transitioning like some of the others?
Actually, we're doing pretty good. We started some new stuff on the greens. We were able to get a verticut and a small tine aerification in last week, and that's already healed. And the course is actually greening up and looking pretty good.
So you've just aerified greens, or are we doing tee boxes and fairways as well?
We won't do those till later. Yeah, we'll have to wait till the weather gets a little bit warmer at nights before we jump on those.
So what else do you got? Any daily specials or anything during the week? Or are you guys?
Well,
just...
actually, this year we kind of were really excited about it, but this year we started a corporate membership plan. So basically, yeah, just any businesses or guys, it's good for up to four individuals, and it's $6,750 for the year, and that gets you all your green fees, cart fees, green fees, range balls, all the golf you can play for you and your work buddies.
And that's a pretty good location there, right there at George Bush, and one kind of in between 121 and a pretty easy to get to location. All right,
yeah,
now
it's a great location. It's been a big hit so far already. We've got quite a few guys jumped on it already, and we're excited about it. It's with what we offer here, with the great food and great golf. It's a great little place to kind of do your business at.
All right, let's move on to what we brought you on here, a little Masters preview. I know as a golfer and a friend that the Masters means a lot. I've spent part of one Masters Sunday with you many, many years ago, I think when little Tucker was baptized.
Yeah.
So what are some of your favorite memories of the Masters? And talk a little bit about anything special you do for Masters Week now that you have kiddos and a house full.
They're kind enough to let me sit and watch, but obviously my with three of them now, the focus is a little, you know, I try to watch and chase and all that kind of stuff. But the family does get together. I bring over the in-laws, and we all kind of have a little cookout if the weather's nice, or order pizza if it's not, and just sit around and watch it all day. It's just a great family experience getting them involved in it and watching it. And, Tucker, now that he's eight, has really kind of drawn a liking to watching it with Daddy. So it's been a good time.
What are your, growing up and having done this for, I think, longer than I have most of your life, what are your favorite, just you personally, what are some of your favorite things about Augusta Week?
Well, I think, obviously, you know me, tradition is just great. I like that they stick to, their rules and still allow the former champions to play. And, I can still remember, and you know as well as I do, I'm not the best of putters on the planet. I actually watched some old highlights this week of Jack, and I'm going with the old crouch position now. I'm going to give that a shot. That's what I remember most, him crouching over that ball and nailing putts every year.
Well, at least the years that we remember him winning.
Yeah, I'm a lot older than you, so I can remember farther back than you can.
Yeah.
But no, it's just a great. I mean, the visual of the core. I mean, it's just a beautiful, beautiful property. And like I said, they you know, it's nice to see a traditional same location. I mean, it just gets everybody excited every year. And it's really when golf season starts for us in the business too, which is great.
Yeah, it is kind of the unofficial kickoff. You know, whether you know the Metroplex here, we're a little bit of a year-round climate compared to most, but it really is for the golf business. You know, apparel lines, everything gears around Augusta and kind of launching some of the new stuff. So we see that every year. You know, Augusta is kind of the unofficial, official kickoff for the golf season. You know, you talked about it being at the same venue every year, and it's, you know, it is the only major that is at the same venue. What do you like about that, or would you prefer, do you prefer stay at the same venue, or do you prefer more like the U.S. Open where we get to see something a little different and maybe, you know, bring other guys into the fold as we start to move to get your pick and talk about the favorites?
Well, I think with it staying at the same venue, because of the way they have the format, because they always allow the past champions in, I think it's beneficial to the past champions because those guys don't, you know, they can't get out there and you know, I guess you want to call it hack it around some of these newer courses that these guys are playing on. But, you know, they can still, every year you got those older guys that still compete for the first couple of days because they know the course well and they can smack it around pretty good. And that's what I like about it. There's always the excitement of that, you know, Tom Watson or Jack Nicklaus making it to the weekend type of thing. And that's exciting.
Right, yeah. We've had a couple of that in the last, 10 years or so. Their kind of last hurrahs where Nicklaus and Watson both made runs and teased us a little, which Watson went on later this summer to go ahead and kind of do the same thing at the British all the way down into the last hole, basically, into the playoffs. So, well, with Vegas, we were just looking at Tim before he left. We were just looking at the odds. I think they have MGM has Tiger at 3-1. They have Rory, and Rory has dropped from he's hovered kind of right around 5-1 here as of late to with some of his struggles over the last month or so. I think Rory's now at 10-1, and Mickelson's up to 10-1. And then it goes all the way down to Schwartzel and Justin Rose and a couple of guys at 20-1, a few guys there at 25. And then you've got the field, obviously, at 2-1, which is always going to be the best bet. But who do you like? Who do you think is going to win this week? Are we going to see Tiger? And I know you and I, and we'll discuss this in a second. I know you and I had a funny discussion about why Tiger's going to win or why I think Tiger's going to win. But who's your pick?
I can't believe you'd honestly ask me that. No, I'm just kidding. You know I'm going with Tiger. I just think he shapes the ball as good as anybody out there. And now that he's starting to putt better, thanks to his good friend Stricker, I think he's going to be a tough one to beat.
As a player, if you were one of those guys on tour, and I mean, your tournament career is kind of winding down as your family and stuff has grown. But as a fellow competitor, if you'd have heard that piece of news that Stricker gave Tiger Woods, of all people, a putting tip, how would that have kind of made you feel a little bit, and then to see what he's done in the 2 weeks since?
Well, you know,
other than asking Stricker for a putting tip.
It just shows you what golf's all about. You know, that's the great, you know, they're all, you know, while they're competitive, they still want, I think every player out there knows that when Tiger's on his best, they're at their best, and I think that's Stricker's philosophy. Instead of saying, I'm not going to help him because he's going to get good, everybody, I mean, golf is better with Tiger as good as he is. And, you know, Stricker was very controversial when Tiger first got on tour, and it's nice to see that they've come a long way in their relationship.
So give us a dark horse. Tiger's the Vegas singular favorite other than the field, and who would you consider, you know, the Charles Schwartzel of 2011 that made birdie four or five holes there on the back nine and sneak in and win? Who's your dark horse?
Well, I'm going with my favorite and my dark horse playing together on Sunday in the last group, and that is Stricker and Woods.
Oh, you're going to pick Stricker as the...
Wouldn't that be a nice pairing? Putting coach and student out there trying to win it.
Yeah, I don't know about that. I'm not...
But they can, yeah, it's you know, that would be a fun to watch. Like I said, I'd like to see storylines and excitement going down to the end.
Well, your dark horse might have a better chance. I think Gribben is a dark horse, or even maybe as a favorite. I think Gribben 3 years in a row or 2 years in a row has picked Lee Westwood. So I might like your guy putting a little better than Westwood. So
yeah, I would say that, but you know, he hasn't been. He hits it so solid. I mean, he does, and he has a great short game, and we'll see. It's going to be a good event. You know, the great thing about the Masters is because of the way the course is, it opens up the game for everybody. Short hitters, long hitters, anybody can play it.
So does the defending What are the chances you think that we see a back-to-back champion for the first time in many, many years? Any chance that Bubba wins again?
I don't think so. I'm not feeling it. I mean, he's playing okay, but you know, just the way everything played out that week, I think it, you know, with the emotions of everything that he had going on and in personal life, you know, new stuff happening, I think that kind of helped. But I think I really do think that the tour is starting to get a good feel that Tiger's back, and they might start pressing a little bit again.
Yeah, I think to that point, I think it was Johnny Miller maybe at the end of the event a couple of weeks ago said, you know, this is the new generation's first, this is their first taste of Tiger Woods at his best, and he's probably just struck a whole new level of fear in a whole new generation that hadn't completely understood what some of the guys in the past have had to go through, that when he plays his best, it doesn't matter how you play. Last question, what do you think about Rory? Has he got any sort of shot? I mean, we see what he's doing down, and I got to see it live for a few days in Houston and San Antonio. So what do you think what do you think Rory's chances are? Can he get over the putting yips a couple of times around and the rights off with the driver?
I would like to see it happen, but I just don't. I don't know. I don't think so. I think obviously a player of his ability, he could figure it out. But once again, like I said, I think people. I think coincidentally, I mean, people are pressing, and I think he's starting to press a little now because he had that number one. Now it's taken away, and got a little, you know, equipment changes here and there. But I mean, I think he'll be in the hunt. I think he'll be there. I don't think he's going to miss the cut or anything like that. But I really do think it's going to be a Tiger show.
I kind of lean the same way, but well, thanks for taking a few minutes, Patrick. I know you got to get back in the shop, and answer those phones, and check those guys in. So have fun, have a good day. Hope you guys are busy, and thanks for coming on with us.
No problem. Take care, partner.
Thanks. Kind of to Patrick's point, you know what we were just talking about with Rory, and having seen it, you know, he talked about he's you know a little bit of a confidence thing, and I mentioned earlier with Tim, one of the things with Rory that it kind of saw in person when watching him, especially warm up on Friday. And, you know, when Rory traditionally has missed, it's always been a little bit to the left. And right now he's kind of missing both directions. And that for a player of that caliber, especially when you're out there in it under Augusta conditions, I think sometimes that does start to wear on you mentally. Kind of like Patrick said, you know, there's some stuff going on that's wearing on him a little bit. And it's not just the equipment. It's not just the slight swing adjustments he's making. It's a little bit in his head right now because, you know, you don't always see players get too animated on the range. And there was a couple of times, and even yesterday, Rory yelled at himself a couple of times when he hit a couple that were way right. And, you know, he kind of yelled at himself a little bit about how bad his balance was. And so I think it is creeped in a little bit mentally, kind of like Patrick said. As far as a couple of other things that we touched on there, Patrick and I had a fun discussion a few weeks ago in the shop, and he thought I was a little crazy, and I actually had the same discussion down in San Antonio on Thursday afternoon. I said that I thought Tiger would win, and I kind of was going to take the David Faraday, you know, that when Tiger's going to win a major soon, and when he wins, it's going to be by a lot. It's not going to be by one or two. It's going to be by four or five, and he's going to say, you know, he's going to answer that if he's back question with a big exclamation point. And everyone thought I was kidding when I said it was the Lindsey Vonn factor, and that was the reason he was going to win by a bunch. And somebody in San Antonio asked me, like, well, what's the Lindsey Vonn factor? And people don't always, you know, they don't always tie some of these things together. But if you really think back to the 1999 Brookline Ryder comeback at the Ryder Cup, you know, Tiger was on that team. Tiger won the PGA Championship just a little earlier, and then he, you know, then they win the Ryder Cup. But at the ceremony, it was sometime in that time that he was introduced to what would become his future wife, and he, you know, they would go on to date for several years, but, you know, that kind of started the relationship. And then, you know, we get to the year 2000, and all of a sudden Tiger has one of the greatest seasons in golf history, and he just goes gangbusters, and he wins the U.S. Open by, you know, a record number of shots. He wins the British Open by a record number of shots. He wins the PGA Championship again, and then he goes on in 2001, and he wins the, you know, he goes on to complete the Tiger Slam. So I think the Lindsey Vonn thing, while it's a little bit of a tongue-in-cheek joke, but there is something to it. When Tiger is content on the home front, or, you know, the excitement of a new relationship or whatever you want to call it, there's something to be said there that there's a driving factor there, and we've seen it. you know, one other time with Tiger that he entered into a new relationship, which he was pretty committed to in the beginning. And he went crazy and just won everything on the planet. And even through the time that before he got caught with all of his extramarital problems, you know, he seemed to be on the home front. You know, everyone around him said that he couldn't have been happier with Elin and the kids and was having fun. And, you know, he was winning at a rate which we had never seen before, as we talked about earlier. And then everything kind of fell apart, and there wasn't that contentment in his life. There's been turmoil. There's been media problems. There's been swing coach issues. There's been swing changes. There's been everything in the world that would prevent Tiger from winning. And, you know, he's fought those demons. It's mental. It's physical. It wears on you. You know, everything that drains you mentally will also drain you physically. And while he's fighting through swing changes, he's, you know, there's rumors that he's getting back together with his ex-wife and that they were seen out a bunch and dating again. And then that fell apart through, you know, prenuptial negotiations. And now the Lindsey Vonn thing happened. So I think there's something to Tiger being content. And now that he has that contentment, I think David Faraday may be right. Maybe it's not this week at Augusta. I kind of think it is going to be this week at Augusta that we see him just crush a field. But maybe it's at the U.S. Open. Maybe it's at the British this year. But it's close. It's around the corner. And if there's a guy out there, and I know Rory's another one, you know, as much as I like to say that he's, you know, or not like to say, I want Rory to do well. I think Rory's good for golf, just like I think, you know, Tiger's good for golf, regardless of what you think about him. Even Phil's good for golf, regardless of what your personal feelings are. As a person who works in the golf business and loves this sport, you know, as much as anything in this world, you want those guys to do well. Because, you know, they drive the needle. They're why people watch. They're why we all have jobs. They, you know, we don't call it the Tiger boom in the golf business for nothing. I mean, golf courses expanded, you know, equipment lines expanded. Nike created a golf division. I mean, specifically, it's basically its own company. So I want all those guys to do well. Rory's another guy. Maybe he doesn't. Maybe it's a little bit like the PGA Championship. You know, we forget that he missed three cuts in a row. Then he struggled in one event coming to the PGA. And everybody's like, oh, he doesn't have a chance. He doesn't have a chance. And he goes out and smokes the field. So maybe, you know, maybe it is Rory. Maybe he figures something out today. Maybe he goes out like he did Friday afternoon. He birdies the last three or four holes. Maybe wins the tournament. Maybe finishes second. But, you know, if he could get out there and birdie the final three or four and maybe makes a big splash and wins, or maybe he, you know, maybe he comes in, maybe they're just too far out there being a couple of shots ahead already. Maybe somebody gets a hot putter or something and gets out there where he can't catch them but still finishes with some momentum. I think that would be good for Augusta. But, you know, part of me still feels that Tiger will, you know, Tiger's the guy this week. I mean, Vegas has said it, and we saw even when he was struggling the last 3 years, he's still, you know, he's top five in it. You know, the year he had no practice time, no tournament time, he goes out there and he finishes fourth. And then, you know, the year after that, you know, he's got injury, he's got this. And, you know, as John Drago said, he made that crazy run on the back nine there in 2011, and it looked like it was his tournament to win, only to have Schwartzel go and birdie the last five, which is, you know, that's the Augusta factor. But if Tiger putts, like Tim and I were talking about earlier, if he goes on a run through the first three rounds like he did a couple of weeks ago, to where on putts from 5 to 20 feet, he makes 17 of 18 through three rounds, everybody will be playing for second place come Sunday, because those sort of putting stats at Augusta will become, you know, a daunting task for the rest of the field. If he starts knocking those in, and it won't even just be for Tiger's confidence. It'll be the guys that play with him the first two rounds. It'll be the guys on the leaderboard that see him, you know, moving up and down, and they see that. They'll hear those roars, and, you know, you make a 20-footer, and it starts echoing through those trees. You know that, you know, every player says it. You talk to every player that's ever been at Augusta. You talk to every spectator at Augusta. You know that it's a Tiger roar, so I think he's positioned himself well through the beginning of the season. He's had one flat tournament stroke play event, but the other ones he's played in, he's won on the PGA Tour. So I think Tiger's positioned himself well. I hope Rory gets it together today and can figure out and carry some momentum in. Of course, you know, I have a vested interest now with Zach Johnson, a former Masters champion, and Bubba Watson. So I'd like to see those guys do well. But, you know, Dustin Johnson, another one, just, it's Masters week. We can get excited. We've got all these guys that we want to see do well, and it's that time. We'll wrap up San Antonio today. We'll move to Augusta starting tomorrow. We got par 3 contest, and we're good to go. So everybody tune in, watch. Thanks for listening. We'll see you guys, or we'll talk to you guys next week. Thanks for listening to The Golfer's Home.
This is KFXR Dallas with all the top news and business stories of the day. It's all on 1190 AM.
The